Well, praise God. We're tonight again into the life of Christ. Praise God. We've gone through the things of looking at Jesus as being the Messiah. That's who he was. And then we got looking into the Word and the importance concerning the Word of God. Parable of the Sower, which deals with that. Then we got over, we're looking at the healing ministry, and we're going to find out is in the healing ministry, again, the Word of God is hugely important. And so we're going to look at Jesus' ministry. Yeah, it's important. Lots of times people, we know stories of things, but sometimes we don't really grasp the details of why events or things took place, why certain things were done. Jesus didn't do some things differently just to do something different. He said he didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father do, and he didn't say anything he didn't hear the Father say. So he was following God. Understand this, God always has a purpose in what he's doing. He doesn't change something just to be changing something. There's a reason for it. One of the things you're going to find out, many times it has to do with us of how and why he has to do things certain ways. It's how we believe, it's in our understanding, how far he can go with us, or what he can reveal to us, and what he can do for us. And this is, you know, this is why we have to break that chain of belief. You know, God's in control, he just sort of does his things his way, and he does. And we want to find out with Jesus, because we find, look at his ministry. And so tonight we're going to look at some, you know, start off in individual healing, because we find out, especially in this standpoint, Jesus sometimes ministered, just like we see in a crusade, there can be a move of God and lots of people get healed, but they don't get healed by faith. It's the move of God. God comes along and moves, and you know what? They can't get nothing outside of that, because if they don't know how to operate with faith. Why we want to look at the individuals, because most all the individuals that are given are people who acted in faith. And if we learn to do what they did, we can end up the same result. So you don't have to wait till the next crusade and hope you just happen to get healed there. You don't have to do that. You know, it's really nice that God puts people out there and they do, God moves through them real powerfully and does things. But one of the things I remember Benny Hinn, many years ago, Benny Hinn, asked the question why. He said, there's so many people get healed in my meetings, but he said, after a while, they're sick again. Why is it? Another minister talked to him and said, you need to start doing some teaching on healing, because people don't have faith. They get healed through the move of God, sometimes even by the corporate anointing in the place, but they go out and the devil comes knocking back at the door again. Amen. And he comes back, and that's what he's going to do. He's always going to come back. And so what happens is he comes along and they don't know how to resist what he's done. It isn't they're bad or they've done something bad. They just don't have the information. They don't have knowledge. And so what we want to do is gain knowledge. And I found out this when I started out, is as I gained knowledge, I could turn around and take a hold of things. I knew what to do and to put the Word of God into practice so it would benefit me. And so it's in the same way. Now we're going to look tonight, starting off, we're going to look at Matthew, the 8th chapter. We're going to find out, this is a thing, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three wrote about this incident, and they all three wrote about this incident almost identically. And so it's really important. If God in His Word put something in here three times, it would be wise if we paid attention to it. Too many times we look at these things, they become stories to us, and we don't realize these are revelations. They're not stories. They're revelations that God gives to man for our benefit. So it's supposed to help us. So it's not just something nice that happened to somebody. It's so you and I can experience the goodness of God. Now we're going to start doing the first one of it, because we'll read through all three of them. It's really important, I believe, that we do, is to look at them, because if God took this much time of three individuals to put this in here, then there's revelation that we need to understand. Now, in the 8th chapter, we're starting with verse 1, and it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And it said, behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, I want you to understand this about leprosy. The leper in Israel was not allowed to be around the crowds. So the multitude coming down, Jesus has been ministering to, he wasn't there hearing that. He's not allowed to be around the crowds. So you need to understand, They had to stay away from people by the Mosaic law God had set up with them. They were unclean. They were contagious. They kept them away. So here we find he comes and he says this. He says, said the leper came, worship him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, you know, some people, right, he didn't know that God was willing. Well, the whole thing is, he is smart. He understands. He said, I know he can do it, but see, I don't know if he can do it for me. Many Christians and spirit-filled Christians are in that condition and they don't even know it. They walk around making confessions and they ain't going to get healed at all because they're not sure that God really wants them well. They're not, you know, they don't know for sure. They think, well, you know, maybe he's not responding to me because of something or other. Well, you have to find that out. And this is one of the things in understanding. This guy came and said, look, I know you can do it. It isn't a matter whether you can or not. See, it doesn't matter whether God can heal or not. It's whether he wants to heal you. You have to know that. Mm-hmm. You have to, and you need to, this is why we minister to people. We tell people, God wants everybody well. We know this. Well, why isn't everybody well? Why isn't everybody saved? God wants everybody saved. He is willing that none should perish. It's all the same. It's all the same. It's not any different. Healing is for everybody, and we need to let people. There are reasons why. Many people, or I would say the majority of the people that don't get healed is because of ignorance. It has nothing to do with sin, bad stuff, or, you know, things that they've done, and the devil. And it's a matter of their lack of knowledge. They don't understand. They're not sold on the fact. You know, when Jesus made mention of the disciples about moving the mountain, he said, you know, if you tell that mountain to move and you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, that mountain will move. In other words, you have to be convinced that you could speak to that mountain. You have to be convinced that Jesus wants you well. You can't have any doubt about that. If you have doubts, then you're not in faith. Amen. Doubts must always be cleared up. This guy wants to get something cleared up. I know that he can do this. I know that he can. Now, but does he want me well? Does he want to do it for me? And you know, that's a good thing to find out. See, you need to come to the place and you need to tell people, because you might go tell people about God healing, but you know, depending on what they've been told or they've heard, and they've gone, oh, if they've come out of regular churches and even some spirit-filled churches, they will not be convinced yet that God wants them. They'll say, well, I'm just praying and believing. No, when you come to believing, you quit praying. That's right. No need to pray about it. Now I know it. Now I know that it's mine. Now what I do is I, from this point on, I talk like it's mine and I act like it's mine, whether I see it or not.
Amen.
Let me just say to you, that's the fight. You know what the good fight of faith is? Your feelings and what you see are in opposite of what you believe. That's the fight of faith. You got to overcome your thoughts and your feelings. If you can't overcome your thoughts and your feelings, you can't. Your faith will never dominate.
Amen.
You must overcome your thoughts and your feelings. Always understand that. This is where people really have a problem. People don't understand what the fight of faith is. The fight of faith ain't me. You know, we can turn around. The Bible tells us we wrestle against principalities. There's demonic powers that we deal with. But the most of the time, the fight is going to be about you and your flesh and your unrenewed mind. That's going to be your fight. Majority of the time. Most of you know about the devil and what he wants to do. But you got to learn about you. That's going to be the fight. The things that war on your mind, on your soul. Warring on your soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions. That's that war. That's if anything goes on, because around you, things don't seem like they're going right, and God's Word says, yep, you have it, it belongs to you. And the fight is that your patience to maintain that walk, that it belongs to you, and you quit trying to get it, you believe you got it.
Amen.
Yet everything around you, whether it's your feelings or what you see, says, no, that's not true. There's Christians that will live out their most of their life as a Christian. They're born again going to heaven and not confident about being born and going to heaven. Yet they're inner man. Why? Because they always live by the outside. And they're not confident. They don't have a confidence of who they are in Christ and what they are. They walk by how they feel. Oh, you know, having a blue day. I don't have blue days. We're not allowed to have those. I'm sorry. I refuse to have blue. I don't have bad days. Days, bad things happen, but I don't care. I ain't having them. I don't have to talk. They'll go on, and they will go on. And there's things that want to discourage you and make you want to go crawl under a rock somewhere, you know, and pull a couple rocks over top of you to hide. But I'm sorry, you know, you can do that. But we just have to come. I'm sorry, you know, everybody comes into stuff, and we have things, but you can't maintain it there. You have to keep yourself. This guy comes along, and I want you to get about this. He wasn't sure about whether God wanted him to be well. He knew God, hey, Jesus can do this. And so find it out about yourself. There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing, you're not a bad person. If you're not sure, find out.
Amen.
Become sure. That's not a bad thing. You know, don't be afraid to ask God. God, say, I know you want me well. Where am I missing it at? Because, you know, say, I'm not grabbing a hold of this thing here. I know you can do this, but I want to be positive. You know, it's like when I got the blood clot in my lungs, one thing is I wanted to know if I left the door open in any way that I was under attack. And that's what I went to the Lord about that. I asked the Lord about it. Why? I don't want to get it healed and end up messed up all over again.
Amen.
I wanted to know. I want to make sure I need to close the door on something. Let's get this door closed because this ain't fun what's happening to me. This ain't good at all. This is terrible. You know, my body was screaming in pain, and like, you know, you're going through this whole thing, but you need to understand. So, see me, I want to find, if there's a door open, I want to close that thing. I want to get that thing shut. If there's anything that I let the devil get in or didn't, I want to know. See, I know he wants to heal me. This isn't the thing, but I want to make sure I haven't done enough. Well, I'll tell you what, I found out, hey, everything's cool. Don't worry about it. You're all right. Good. I say, well, that's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil come and attack us, but I don't want to leave myself in a position where he continually has access to me.
Amen.
So you want to find those things out. Amen. So that's why, you know, everybody is so busy trying to get by. No, find out. Because why? It isn't a matter of just getting well. Let's stay well.
Amen.
Let's get there and stay there. That doesn't mean you're going to go along and nothing, no attacks are going to come on you. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some people, I see this people all the time, they go and their whole life, you know, they just go after attack, after attack, after attack, and after attack. Lots of times it's because of ignorance. It's not because they're bad people. It's ignorance. They don't know how to stand against things. They aren't taught right. Or if they're taught, they don't pay attention to it and they just go on. And this ignorance that they're going through, they just access. The devil has access to them.
Yep.
Don't let him have access to you. Number one, God's not going to stop him from having access to you. That's your job. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, you know, we're here in a house. See, this house here, you know, God doesn't come and sweep the floors here. Did you ever notice that? God don't come in here. He don't do the dishes. He don't cook. He don't do nothing. He's here. But to keep and take care of this house is not up to God. Let me tell you, your house, which is your body, is yours. God ain't going to come and clean it up. You're the one supposed to renew your mind. You're the temple of God. You keep the temple clean. You do. And get a hold of that. It's good teaching.
Amen.
See, people turn around and say, well, you know, God, the devil, hold it. I realize the devil does things, but you need to understand about us, our part in the thing. It's just like a natural house. We're required to take care of it. Our house, this house that we live in here and this one, our inner man, God got us born again. The Holy Ghost moved in. He works in there. But we are supposed to take the knowledge we gain from that to take care of the outer house, this one.
Amen.
So, let's do that. Well, he goes along. So what does he do? He asks, he said, I know you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And said, immediately the leprosy left him. See, when Jesus said, I'm willing, and touched him, see, that guy's faith, you know, it wouldn't take him a week to have faith. He got his answer, what he wants. He can immediately believe. See, faith is involved in this. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words. The words of Jesus brought faith to him. He asked a question. Jesus responded by words. So he knew faith came. Now he can respond to Jesus' touch. See, and understand that with things and dealing with people. You know, Use words. Minister words. Why? You want to bring a person. You want them to cooperate. If they learn to cooperate with it, then they can go on and cooperate with God and God and His Word. So he found out, yes, God was willing to heal him. Now we want to see this part, which is really important to us. Because his leprosy was cleansed. It says, and Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. Oh, we thought we were just supposed to go tell everybody. Jesus said, don't tell everybody. We're going to find out why. It said, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. See, they're under the Mosaic law. It is a requirement that the leper cannot go out into public without going and the priest announcing him clean. Jesus will not break the word for you. You know what? Jesus healed other lepers. They didn't. He told them the same thing and they didn't do it. Do you know, one of the things that Jesus got a lot of persecution from? Because of disobedient people. See, these guys don't go and do it, and so what happens? Well, he gets people to break the law. No, he told them to. They don't. But where does it come back? On him. Christians do that today. They don't obey the word, and everybody knocks Jesus. See, he's required by law, and that's what he said. You don't go tell anybody. You go do this. You go do what Moses gave the law to do. That's what you do. Jesus is not going to break. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to break it. You need to understand the word today. God gave his word. We're supposed to follow it. It isn't to we decide whether we want to do it or not. This is where a lot of people get into, a lot of Christians get into trouble. They decide how they're going to do the word or whether they're going to do it. They do it their way. So this is what Jesus is keeping the law. He must. He has to. If Jesus breaks the law, then he sinned. He can't do that. He has to tell this guy to do this. This is what the word says. So he's telling him, this is what the word says you do. So he's following that. Now you and I are not under the law today. We're not under that. But understand, it still stands for us to always follow the word, to what the word says. You follow the word. See, I found this. You follow the word closely. Just stay close with it. Confine the word. Listen to the word. And the word will set you into the direction. Now, Mark tells the same in Mark, the first chapter. In Mark, the first chapter, and starting at verse 40, we're going to read the same thing as what he talks here, where it says verse 40 of Mark 1, it says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. Said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, he was cleansed, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to a priest and offer for yourself cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So we see again, this is put in here. So we need to take these principles, say bring it over into our covenant, is following the word. Always tell people to follow the word, they'll be blessed. If they follow the word, they'll be blessed. Do what the word says. See, it's so important. Jesus always honored the word. He always honored the word. And see, this is one of the things that was really sad. Jesus said about the Pharisees, he told the people, he said, listen to what they say. See, they would read the law and tell people the law. Listen to what they say, but he said, don't do what they do. You know what people are going to do? They're going to do what you do. I'll tell you, you can take a Christian, and you can take a Christian parent, they can talk all they want. It's what they do is what the kids are going to follow. That's what they're going to follow. I don't have to be a prophet to say, I've watched it with people all along. I've watched people down there, wait years. I've watched along and watched a decade pass, and all the things come to roost about people doing stuff. You can say all you want to kids, you can teach them all the Bible, but they're going to follow what you do. Mm-hmm. Come on. This is one thing, is walk in light with it. It's one thing I was really glad to hear, and my daughters, years ago, they said that they were talking together, and they said, one thing about you, Dad, you lived what you said you believed. And I was really glad to have them say that. It wasn't just a thing. It wasn't just a thing people do out here. So many people, well, they're saying the right things, but children follow what you do.
Amen.
It's just the way it is. And it's really sad. It's a sad thing. That's why you always want to follow with the Word. Nobody's perfect and you mess up. And I'll tell you what, children don't expect you to be perfect. They at least expect you to be honest. You sit around and talk your stuff and then go do something else. Don't be surprised they don't pay no attention to you. And so, keep yourself walking in the light of things. Follow what the Word says. Do it. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed. I'm just going to read from Luke again because Luke made this mention in Luke 5. Luke, the 5th chapter. So this is written in here. It's written in here 3 times. So this revelation is really important to us. Is concerning people. That's one thing, is finding out people do they really understand that God wants them well? Do they really understand that God wants them well? And being convinced of that, because I've run into people ready for salvation that, you know what, they believe Jesus saved, but they didn't believe maybe they could be saved. But many people, they think they're too bad. You know, you've gone too far. And it's hard to believe for them as they is the goodness of God. Well, look what all I've done wrong, you know, because you know in society you do all wrong, and you know most people ain't interested in saving you. And so, but people get over that. They get deceived by demonic powers. You're never good enough. You're not enough. It's amazing. Even I've watched Christians, they get saved, but live their entire Christian walk believing they're not good enough. Live under the weight. Satan keeps them bound over there in thoughts and things about themselves. They never overcome it. They live in a place of weakness, and you don't want that with people. And so people can convince. And Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 12 says, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Says, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for the cleansing as a testimony to them, as Moses commanded. So if you go back, you can look in the Levitical law and see the cleansing of the leper, what they had to do, what they had to go through. And so they were supposed to do that, carry out that sacrifice, and they're examined by the priest, and the priest declares them clean. So he says, go do that. And see, that there was important because, you know, from Jesus' standpoint, his ministry, if people don't listen and do what the law says and say they're sitting under his teaching and his following, it brings shame on him because they're not doing following his teaching. They're not following whatever. See, we need to do that. Because, you know, I don't want to bring shame on him. You know, I mean, sometimes it's shame on me, but I won't bring shame on him. You know, if there was something dumb, it wasn't him, it was me. You know, you got to get there. Hallelujah. So, anyhow, now we're going to look at the other things here in Jesus. We're going to look at things about faith and operating in the areas of faith. As we're talking about the Word, we're talking about words planted. We went through the parable of the sower. And what was it? Words. These words are seeds. Words are seeds. And those words planted in the heart or the spirit of man will produce things. They produce whatever the seed is. See, you got born again on the seeds being preached born again. You didn't get born again on the seeds of healing. You got to born again. See, whatever it is that we're taught, it's those seeds that produce. See, everybody gets on the thing of, well, you know, well, if God heals, why ain't I healed? Does your church teach healing? No. We don't have those seeds. Well, if God heals, you'll just heal. They don't even understand at all. They don't get it at all how it works. It's seeds. They don't understand about saying things. See, they're seeds, and this is why. See, I always want to continue to learn and grow, because when I find new revelation out from Word, those seeds get into me. I can produce other things. Or I can produce more of certain things if I can get those seeds into me. I may have a certain revelation about something, but I get a further revelation which will produce more, a bigger crop. That's what you want to learn to do. So, it's always about seeds. This is why the Holy Spirit's in you. He talks to you. He speaks to you. You need to understand this. This is why when the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to hold you as accountable, what I tell you is written in the book. Why? There's things about... I can't find Ed Gibson's name in the book. Don't find my name in there at all. Now, I know that God wants everybody saved, but I couldn't find my name in there one place of being called to ministry. Couldn't Ed's name in there one place said that. How do I know that? See, the Holy Spirit ministered that to me. The Holy Spirit. I have to listen to those words. I was called. I have to accept them. Shall I tell you what? Many people are called that don't respond to it. They don't respond to it. They don't respond to the words. Well, if God wants me, He'll get me. No, He don't. You've got to respond to the words. He will always reveal to you and give you the revelation. That's what He did to me. He gave me a revelation. The night I got born again, I knew that I was called to full-time ministry. I just knew it. I knew I was going to in the full-time ministry. And from that time on, see, I received that. And because I received that, I didn't listen to anything else told me anything else about it. I didn't listen to what anybody else said. And you know what? I took those seeds, and I tell you what, I kept them in my heart. And so, keeping them in your heart, that's what I just set myself to walk toward. Those are the seeds I want to produce. See, many people get distracted along the way, and other seeds will come along and get planted, and they will follow those seeds. I never did that. I had people. This is one thing is I found out. When God specifically deals with you in an area to head in a direction, somebody, and usually it's other people, will try to put seeds into you to get you to go in another direction. It's usually people. Will try to get you. I'd have people come along and offer me different kinds of deals. You ought to go into this or into that, you know, and you could go into this business, you could do this, and distract me away from that. You know, you could make money doing this. See, now we stayed there. And I had people I went along with. People I knew were called to the ministry. They have lived and died and never got in it. Lived and died. I knew they were called. Why? He gets distracted along the way. They knew that they were called. Well, God will get me there if He wants me there. You ain't taking care of the seed, you forget. A farmer don't take care of the seed. When fall comes, he ain't got no money. Because he ain't got no crop to sell. He has to take care of that seed of his in the ground during the year. He doesn't go out and go do, oh, you know what? I'll tell you what, I know I got the seed out there, but you know, boy, it'd be nice to go out. Let's go on vacation for 2 months. What do you think? We'll just go over here and go do something else. And, you know, God will take care of those crops out there. Those weeds won't grow up out there. That ain't going to happen. You know, you take a dairy farmer, you know? I mean, the cows will milk themselves. We're teaching them. But see, it's finding out. This is really important when we're dealing with words. As we go on to look at this, we want to find out about how the importance of words. See, we were talking about the parable of the sower. It's all about words. And this is what people were not getting, that Jesus said that these folks out here that weren't listening, He said to them, yeah, He said, I tell them parables so they don't understand. What didn't they understand? He's telling them about seeds, and these people think that they're smart. All they know about seeds in the ground out there, but they don't realize He's talking about them being in the ground, and they ain't paying a bit of attention about the seeds in them. They're not paying a bit of attention. They want to produce things. I found out healing produced in my life because I took great care of the seeds, fed those seeds, would turn around every chance I had. If I got a new revelation, I planted some new seeds in there. I got some stuff and stayed after it.
Amen.
Why? Because it'll produce 30, 60 to 100 fold. It'll produce, the seeds will.
Amen.
And I found out about this. The payoff goes if you can get more seeds in there. The more seeds you can get in, the bigger crop you can get. Most people don't. They don't. You know, they heard a few sermons on healing and they think they know something. I ain't heard none. You know, they got about, you know, maybe a tenfold will come into them. No, you got to stay after it. Now, we have Jesus here in Matthew. We're going back over to Matthew, the 8th chapter. Back to Matthew where we were before, Matthew 8. Because we got another story, which is right behind the leper. Which is another one. It's a good one here. This is about a centurion's servant. This is really a good one. Because this one here really shows us the pattern of walking by faith. That you can walk in. And I want you to see this, because the centurion is a Roman. He's not raised up under the law. Yet he has come over and he is following and walking in the law of Moses. He's living in it. He's come out. He wasn't born and raised in this. But he is far ahead of the Jews. You know why? He's put seeds in himself. He comes from a better background than the Jews. The Jews are always rebellious. He has come from a guy, he's in the military. He knows about listening to authority. This is why Americans are having terrible problems today. The American church is because of rebellion. They don't listen to authorities. They always want to tell authorities what to do. They don't listen to them. Pay attention, you'll be blessed. That's why, you know, when Paul wrote about the king, you know, listen, king says, you know, what his job is to do. See, if you're in rebellion against him all the time, I can understand why many leaders don't pay any attention to people. Because people do criticize them all the time. Is that the person you're going to want to go try to help? Learn that. You sit and run down the person in charge and don't think, well, they know what they're doing. Don't be surprised they don't care what you're doing. They ain't going to help you. This submission to authority is a hugely important thing. We find out here, this man understands something, and it's a thing we can get. Fifth verse. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. So this guy said, he's paralyzed, but he's dreadfully tormented. So there's something else. He's paralyzed, he can't walk, but he must be in great pain and stuff too, whatever's going on, whatever's happening to him. Don't know what it is. We didn't have a doctor to check it out today, tell us. But we know this. This is the servant. And this guy comes about his servant. So he has a servant, and he really likes his servant, because his servant's in bad shape. He's coming to Jesus. Now he says, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. What is faith? Comes by hearing and hearing by the word. This man understands something. You need to get a hold of this. He has a revelation that most people, and I'm just sorry, most spirit-filled Christians don't have today. They don't understand this. They don't have a depth of this revelation. This is one of them that I learned early. I learned early listening to Kenneth Hagin teach it over and over and over again, and I listened to it till I got this. Now, this guy says something. He said, you know, here he is, he understands it. He's a Gentile. He's under a religion. He realizes this. He's a guest in the religion. He's a guest. See, he's the one that's accepted, but he's not a Jew. And he says to Jesus, he understands Jesus' position. And he said, you know what? You're way over me in this thing. You're way over me. See, this is why a lot of Christians don't get things well. They still think Jesus is their servant, that they have to tell him what to do. And they don't come to him humbly. They don't treat him like he's the biggie. They treat him like his job is to take care of them when they have problems. That's what people do. They come and they don't have a thing to do with God. As soon as they get in trouble, they're looking for somebody that knows God. It's because why? They have no respect for Jesus at all. You're just here to do this for me. I can live like hell, and then you'd come over and wave the wand over me and get me fixed. And I go back over. See, you want, as a Christian, you always want to treat Jesus. He is in authority. He is Lord. And always treat him like he's a Lord. Honor him. Always show very high respect for him. He's the deliverer. He's the healer. This individual does this. Jesus, he said to him, I'm going to come to your house. And centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. All you got to do is say it. Now this man had a revelation. You need this revelation. You need this revelation. He said, for I am also a man under authority. He didn't say, I'm a man in authority. I, as a Christian, I am a man under authority, not in authority. My authority lies under Jesus Christ's authority, not mine. Your authority is not yours. The only reason you have can use authority is because of Jesus' authority. We use His name. He said, you ask the Father anything in His name. You do it in my name. It's under His authority. This man understands he's a Roman centurion. He does what he does, not because he's an authority, it's because he's under somebody's authority. No one is an authority of their own except God. You're either under God's authority or the devil's, one of the two. And I see Christians go back and forth in it all the time. They jump back and forth. They get under the authority of one or the other. See, don't get me. You're under the authority of one or the other. And that authority will work for you who you submit to. So you want to get this. So he understood. He said, I'm a man who is under authority. He didn't say in authority. So he says, having soldiers under me. So in other words, I have an authority. I'm under an authority. Now there are men under me. Why? I have an authority and there's things that are under me. These men. Now I want you to look at the pictures. See, he said, he's talking to Jesus. I'm a man in authority. In other words, Jesus is a man in authority. He has healing. Healing is under His authority. Just like those men are under His authority. Do you understand this? This is what He's telling. Healing is under the authority of Jesus Christ. It's just that lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You know? In my name you do this. So He said, these men, I have men under me. And so what do? I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Why? Because of the authority I'm under. What is the authority I'm under? It's this. If they don't listen to him, Rome will show up and they'll listen. You need to understand this is why you have to fear God. Mm-hmm. When Christians don't fear God, mm-hmm. you put yourself in a bad position. So you need to show respect. And see, people don't show respect. It's not a good thing because what happens opens the door to punishment. Don't want to do that. People in rebellion will end up being judged. I don't care if it's a Christian. They're going to end up judged being in rebellion. You don't get in a place of rebellion against authority. It's not good. I tell you, when God showed me how it displeased Him and that stuff of what the Christians and stuff were doing concerning Biden and things that they were doing and saying, and then the other side, they want to move of God, and I'm seeing they ain't going to get no move of God. They're saying and what they shouldn't be saying, talking what they shouldn't be talking. Whether we liked it or not, He was in authority. And people put Him there. Might have done dumb things, but we need to be careful. It's one thing to not like what somebody does. It's another thing just to be ugly about it. And we had too much ugly. Too much ugly in rebellion. Because this man, he understands this thing. So in other words, if I tell this guy to go do something. Now he understood this. Jesus was in authority over sickness or disease. He knew that he wasn't. Do you need to understand? You don't have, per se, authority over sickness and disease, other that you're under authority of Jesus Christ. Sickness and disease only obeys you because of the fact of Jesus' authority. Understand Amen. That about demons. Demons ain't scared of you.
Amen.
But they scared of Jesus and that name. Amen. Brother Hagin, when he did teaching, when the Lord dealt with him in a vision and showed him about demons, and he found it was a really interesting thing, and he said he saw it later on. When the gift of would work through him in dealing with demons. Anyhow, he said he'd see demons sometimes. He said He said when he would say the name of Jesus and tell them to leave, he said they would actually quake and quiver. It wasn't because of him. He said because of Jesus. He said they know. They know they're defeated and they're scared. See, they ain't scared of you. They might have a fear of you because they know you'll use the name of Jesus. They might know that. They might. This one. Let me tell you this. Demons will know whether you can use your authority over them or not.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. They know it. They know whether you cozy up to them or not, you know. They know. And so he's telling me, I understand this, how this works. And this is why, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in all Israel. This is great faith. Great faith is not being some huge something. It's understanding this principle about the Word of God. That the Word said is as powerful as somebody laying hands on you, waving wands, going and getting Moses' rod, whatever. See, when I got that revelation, I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching these things, and I got that revelation. I'll tell you what, the Word is enough. If God has said it in His Word, that's enough. See, Paul wrote in the Hebrews, and he told them, we have a more sure witness than if an angel talks to you. He's talking about the written Word is a more sure. If it says it in the Word, that's it. You need to come to, that's great faith. Great faith ain't isn't an angel showing up and saying something to you. Great faith isn't, you know, people are always going, great faith is this, the Word's enough.
Amen.
The words of God are enough to produce whatever those words say they will.
Amen.
They will produce it. And this is the wonder. See, as I found out about healing, I didn't have to wait for things. I could take a stand. And see, this is what, and when you find out, it's the words on anything is the same thing. It's your words. Mm-hmm. See, one of the great fallacies in the areas of finances is the emphasis all the time on the areas of giving. No, I'll tell you what, it's more than that. You've got to be saying the right words.
Amen.
You know, these people teaching on a hundredfold. I'm believing for a hundredfold. How much is a hundredfold? How much is it? They haven't got a clue. They don't even tell people, believing for a hundredfold. Well, what if I put $10,000 in? What am I supposed to believe for back? How many million can you believe for? Well, you get a person who can't believe for millions, you can say the hundredfold all you want and it ain't producing nothing. You'll produce what you believe. This is why you got to gain seed of the Word. You gain seed of the Word and get it in you. Then you can speak. Understand, faith comes before giving. Giving does not bring faith. The Word brings faith. Giving is an action of my faith. It is not the opposite. They always teach it. It's the opposite. It's false. That's false teaching. I give because of my faith. That's what produces. Faith produces, not just putting money out there. Get that in yourself. See, you get it over in faith. Everybody's trying to. And this one thing the Lord dealt with me back in 2014, and at the end of 2000 and the beginning of 15, when He dealt with me about how He was really upset at ministers because He said they're really taking these people across. He said they're always getting money out of them, but He said the people, they ain't busting the people. They use it. You know, you give, God will bless you. That's a lie. In itself, it's a lie. It's a part of a truth. It's a part of a truth. It is not the whole truth. This is why you want to get more seed. You find out the whole truth. This is why. When I found out what the whole truth was with it, you know, Wanda and I started climbing up the ladder. I realized when I first started off, we struggled more, and the reason we didn't have enough revelation. But as I got more revelation, I got more seed planted in me. And as I got more, I started saying certain things and understanding certain things. I could turn around and believe. I could all of a sudden start believing for more money. I could believe for higher amounts. Why? It's because of seed in me. Wasn't Ed was great? Seed's great. The seed will just produce in you. That's what it does. So get the Word in you. Find out what it says. Start doing that. You get Word in you. Water the Word in you. You water it by saying it. The seeds in you, just keep watering that. Keep saying that things in those seeds in you. Keep speaking those things in you. And they will produce for you. Hallelujah. Because don't you're going to see around you at times you think, man, I'm telling you, I'm saying, don't look like nothing's happening. Don't matter. When a farmer plants a seed out there, you know, first, don't look like nothing's happening out there, does it? Doesn't look like anything's happening. But under that ground, there's something happening. There's something happening. That seed is doing something. That seed is starting to break and to start to root. That's what it's doing. You don't want it to grow up and it don't have no root. What happens there? No, that thing's got root. Keep watering that thing. That thing gets root. Because you don't just want above ground, you want down in.
Amen.
You want that thing to have life to produce. That's what the seed will do in you. Just keep doing that. So we have this guy, he gets a revelation, and Jesus said, man, he said, I haven't met anybody in Israel. Now think about this. Do you know he ran into John the Baptist? He said, I ain't met a Jew that got a revelation. This guy got it. If you don't get this revelation, you're always going to be lacking. This area of authority, you understand this thing about authority. The Word. If God has given the Word, He has handed you the authority to bring to pass whatever He wants. What this guy wanted, I want my servant well. You just say the Word and he'll be well. That's enough. The average Christian, that in his spiritual, that's not enough. You've got to lay your hands on him 10 times. You've got to do all kinds of different things. Have long prayers. Do all kinds. The Word's not enough. It isn't what I say, it's what God said is big. It's what God said is big. Just think of this. He said, you just say the Word and my servant will be well. That's all you got to do is just say the Word. He didn't say, now if you pray. You know, I know if you pray, you know, and you offer 10 sheep, I know this thing's going to... I know this thing's going to work if we just do that. He said, no. He said, you're a man. He said, I just tell a guy to go do it, and he does it. You know why? He don't want to mess with me. Sickness and disease don't mess with Jesus if you understand it. If you don't understand it, sickness and disease will mess with you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If he says the word, disease, you need to take a hold of your authority that he has handed you that's under him and stop sickness and disease from dominating. No, His Word's enough. His Word. Get over on that. His Word. What He said is enough. See, you understand why the parable of sower is so important? See why it's so important? The church hasn't put it in a place of importance. It? Teach all kinds of stuff. But we need to understand the simplicity of this. That's why, you know, this is very simple stuff. It's not hard to figure out.
Amen.
See, this is for the simple. It's not for the really brainy person. It's for the simple. So you know what? I'm simple. You know, if I understand it, it must be simple. It's simple. Hallelujah. And then Jesus makes this statement. I say to you that many who will come from the east and the west sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you say? He's talking about, he's dealing with a Gentile here. He sees the Gentiles have a better grasp on this than the Jews got. The Jews have gotten so religious and so far away. He said, hey, these guys are going to come into the kingdom, and what's going to happen? The Jews ain't. What did he talk about with the parable of the sower? And he said about the Jews. What did he say about the disciples? What about this? Why? They don't understand. He said the reason they don't understand. He said, I speak in parables for that purpose. Wow. They're falling off in their religion. They're going down through the road on their religion. And they don't understand these things, these principles. These are the principles of the kingdom, and they don't get it. They don't even know that they don't know. They think they're smart. They think, well, you know, they won't enter a Gentile's house because, you know, we're so clean and they're so dirty. And Jesus runs into a Gentile and knows more about faith than any of the Jew he ever met. And I've run into Gentiles that know a whole lot more than Jews do. And you will to this day. So, praise God. Well, it says in verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, just like you believe what happened, the word will do it. He said, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed from that same hour. Just like you said, that's the way it is. You need to understand this. As we look at these principles here and what goes on in this healing, you're going to find this out. People don't get healed generally how God determines. It's you that determines how you get it. You do. See, if you need, somebody always has to lay hands. It's not about laying hands on people. We're told to do it. But if you need, that's the way you get it all the time. Well, then God, you know, God goes over there. But if God gives you revelation and you just keep heading in that direction, you might find yourself not getting. You better listen to what God tells you to do. Mm-hmm. There's got to become a growing up. A growing up. P.C. Nelson, who was considered the number one Greek scholar in his day, he could speak, I think it was 31 languages. Gee, that's 31 more than me. I mess around with English. and he was like the second in the, they considered scholars concerning Hebrew. But he made the mention about where James said, calling for the elders of the church, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, in actual Greek, he said, that's not for every Christian doing that. He said, that's talking about the ones that can't help themselves. You see, that wasn't for everybody going and doing that. See, we get along in the thing and we do things we don't realize. See, people need that who don't understand that they can just take the word and stand. Mm-hmm. See, they need something outward. The anointing with oil is why? People need to have something physical happen. That's not half faith. I need to have something physical to happen to me to believe. See, I got to have somebody lay their hand on me this way. Something's done on the outside that makes me okay. Now, there's nothing wrong if people need that. There's people going to need that. There's many times that you're going to meet. People need that. They don't have a place of faith that they can't just do it by themselves. There's nothing wrong with that, is doing that. You know, but it was one thing, if somebody's going to lay hands on me before I'm going to get there, this is what I'm going to say. When they touch me, whatever I want that they have is going to go into me and it's going to do something. See, I say words. See, most people go, wait, maybe if I got a feeling like something happened, maybe, oh, I really felt the power. Well, then your faith is on feeling. That's your faith. See, I don't care. I don't have to feel nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't have to feel a thing. My faith's not moved by my feelings. My faith isn't. But you know what? Sometimes your soul gets over in the reality and it wants a feeling. Mm-hmm. And it'll carry you to the soul side of it. It'll carry you to the mental side of it. And you want a feeling. We start off, we might be there, but we want to get away from that. Amen. We want to leave that spot in that place. Amen. See, I just need a better feeling. And so I'm not going to go any further. We're going to stop there because we're going to go into another one here. Another centurion we're going to have here. Some people join these together, but these are this one here is together with his servant. But we're going to also talk about a nobleman. We're going to go into which people talk about. But we're going to look at the one in Luke, because Luke talked about that again. But I really encourage you to take this here and meditate on what God's saying to it. It really gets into you concerning what this centurion, what he understood. I'm under authority. Remember, no one has authority. You take a police officer. He doesn't have authority on his own. He is put in his position under the municipality's authority, not his. Everybody's like that. You work on your job. You might own your job. You got that authority to work that job. Somebody else gave it to you. It's under somebody else. The owners of the company, the ones that, whoever it is that runs the things, they're the ones in authority. You're under their authority. As today we have all this stuff is that people come and they think, no, well, I'm just going to do what I want. I don't have to listen to them. And they just go, yeah, well, go ahead and do that. You're in rebellion. You're under authority. You always treat the authorities over. That's one thing that the Lord taught me at H.B. Reese Candy Company when I got saved. Because, yeah, I was a rebellion, always against authority. I was, you know, as a sinner. And He didn't want me. He wanted to bless my life. But he couldn't bless my life if I continued to do that kind of thing, which a lot of even Christians are doing today, are in rebellion. They're in rebellion against authority. Well, I don't like what they do. Well, tough. And the Lord told me, don't matter what they do and how they run their business. It's their business. If you don't like it, you go someplace else. It's their business. You know, Jesus used a thing, and out there going out and said, the guy went out and hired people and come in the vineyard, and he turned around and paid everybody the cent. He said, and the guy said, it's my money. Can't I do what I want with it? No, not today in America. No. The rebellious people. Yeah, I'll vote people in office. So turn around, take your money and give it to me. I won't have to earn my wage. They'll pay me even if I'm lazy. It's good preaching.
Amen. Amen.
We talk about faith. People know very little about faith and working by faith. Know almost nothing about it. See, I had to be taught that. See, I had a guy, you know, and I always tell the story about, you know, when I worked in Bible school, complaining about my employer, the guy over me. He wouldn't give me a raise. You know what? See, I was looking at him. I wasn't looking to God. I wouldn't walk by faith. See, it's his job to take care of me. See, he needs to give me more money. Why? I stand on the Word of God getting money. What I was doing, I was looking at an individual, what they could do for me.
Yep.
And you know what? I never did get a raise. God told me to leave. And I ended up with more money, and it wasn't from the place I was working. See, when he got me into faith, I didn't need a union. I was in the best union in town. I had a union with God. Never used it. Just like most Christians do. Never use it. Well, I'm going to believe God for a raise for a work. What if they don't do it? What if they don't go that way? Is this what you're going to be stuck with, some guy? With some outfit? They're the only ones who can bring you money? See, you limit what God can do for you by your believing. How you believe it. You're limited. Don't ever limit yourself. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, there's people all over this world that'll bring money to Ed. Hush. God got people. God, it said men would give unto my bosom. It didn't say, your boss will give to your bosom. I do got a boss, and it's Jesus. Hallelujah. He the big boss.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know what? He got faithful servants everywhere.
Amen.
He got sinners that he can get to give me stuff.
Amen.
He got sinners that are better than saints when it comes to these things.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll have somebody. Always. So you got to get over in that thing. That way you're not... Too many people are focused too much on other people. What other people do or say or whatever else. They're always focused on that.
Yep.
We don't know much about the life of faith. Mm-hmm. The life of faith, I don't have to take the care of all this stuff. I don't have to know how all this is going to work. I just have to believe God. I just have to trust Him and let the seed grow up and talk like this thing's working, whether it looks like it's working, like anybody's doing anything for me or not. That's what I do. See, and that's what you do. Get yourself into that place concerning the Word of God. The Word will put you over. It'll do it every time. And just get yourself over there, get confident. See, it takes so much pressure, it'll take pressure off of you, but what happens is just like this. People put pressure on other people. God don't like that. See, we can use our spiritual authority we have, we can use it to hamper other people and hinder other people because we use our authority to try to make them to do what I want. Christians do this all the time. Trying to use my spiritual authority. God doesn't force people to do stuff. We ain't got any business trying to force people to do things. We pray for people not to force them to do anything. Love's the motive that we do it in. And if you're doing it because, you know, they need to get saved, they're bugging me. You know, because we really don't love them. It's what, you know, I don't want them hindering me. I don't want them messing with me in my life. You know what I mean? Love's always got to be the motive. Love's the motive, I'm praying. Number one, if people want to rebel against God, God has given them the right to do that. He loves them and wants to save them, but He ain't going to force them. And you can't force them. I know I got into a situation where I was trying to force a thing. The Lord taught me and showed me something. It's like we have today. Christians have opened up the doors of demonic powers to do all kinds of stuff. About trying to force in the spirit realm. Trying to force stuff. We're not trying to force things of people. You don't, you know, I want it to go this way. I'm going to, you can fast and pray all you want. God don't change, and you'll never change God praying. Yeah. If you're a real prayer, you'll find this, your prayer life will change you. Mm-hmm. If it ain't changing, if your life ain't changing, it's because you're not really spiritual. And you don't know it. A real prayer life will turn around and change you. So one thing is, when I more get in contact with God, it changes me. I see how He thinks, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to change the way I think. I got to change the way I think. I see now how He thinks. My God, I got to make a change. Because He ain't going to change. He's perfect. What if somebody perfect need change? Well, a lot of people think they're perfect. Just the rest of you heathens need to change. You all would change and be a better place. I just praise God. Father, we just want to say thank You. Lord God, You're so good to us. You are incredible. And You're just amazing because You set up a system of blessing that is so phenomenal. And I thank You for unfolding these things so we see, Lord God, because You just want to bless us. You want to do wonderful things. You want to show Yourself that people can see that it is wonderful to follow You. Hallelujah. Lord God, You're so good. And I just want to say thank You, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the great kindness and mercy that You have given us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I just want to thank You that You sent Your word, the Bible says, and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. And I want to thank You. You did that through Jesus Christ, Father. You sent Him and we were sure destroying ourselves. And You saved us. You delivered us. You healed us. You're so good. You're so great. Hallelujah. You didn't look at what we were. It's what we could become believing in You. And I just want to thank You tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, as You open the Word to us and the wonderful Holy Spirit teaches us, I thank You, Lord God, those wonderful seeds are getting into us, growing up and producing wonderful things. Your glory shines through, Lord God, and we give testimony of the wonders of Your goodness and mercy in Christ Jesus. And we thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.